The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. This is your host, Deanne DeMarco, and we are ready to rock and roll today. We have got a great show for you. We're going to be talking about how to get those customers that you're dying to get in your entrepreneurial and business as well as your corporate business. And then we're also going to be talking later on about how to curb the inner critic. So stay tuned with us today. Our first guest is Jerry Quinn, who is who has been involved in the entrepreneurial world for many years. In fact, selling one of her entrepreneurial businesses for over $1 million. Jerry is currently the president of Driving Improved Results and is a recognized speaker and consultant to professional development expert. And she focuses on small to mid-sized businesses. Her most recent book, The Customer Loyalty Playbook, 12 Game Strategies to Drive Improved Results in Your Business, focuses on customer loyalty in the four areas leading to customer loyalty and customer retention with the customer experience. Jerry, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Oh, Deanne, it's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me on to your show.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this whole thing of customer loyalty and customer retention and finding customers. And you have been in the entrepreneurial business world for over 30 years. I think that says a lot. And you've had several very, very successful businesses. Can you tell us some of the things that have impacted you as the owner of some of these successful small businesses over the years?
Sure. I had a computer support business among the several that I've had. I had that for 18 years, probably the longest I've had any of them. And I worked with my husband. We were raising kids at the time. And there's so much that I see in the small businesses that I'm now working with in my consulting practice that has been part of my experience. For instance, talking about the business over the dinner table. In a small business, your family life and your business life kind of come together in all different kind of places because you generally have some kind of family members. It might be immediate family or extended family in your business. And, of course, that comes with its rewards, and then it's not-so-rewarding moments. But your kids benefit because they learn marketing around the table, and you and your husband learn to get better at making decisions together. Also, there's with small businesses, they're usually cash-strapped. There's not, maybe you're starting by bootstrapping that business, kind of starting it from nothing. Mm-hmm. And so cash is always an issue, and sometimes with a small business, you're pulling money out of the right pocket to put into the left pocket, you know, sure. The personal pocket versus the business pocket. So there's a lot of things there. And two, you know, we've seen in the recent economy, since 2008 anyway, where there's been a lot of winds of change with economic recession and those kinds of things. And small sure. businesses take that really hard because they don't have deep pockets like big corporations. And so any small business that survives 5 years, and I think that's only about 5 or 10% of the existing small businesses, you really have to hand it to those business owners because they really know what they're doing. It takes a lot to survive.
Right. Yeah. I didn't realize that only, you said 13% survive after 5 years?
Yeah, it's closer to 10, I think.
Wow, 10%. Wow, I didn't realize that. So that tells us that we really need to get or become experts in this whole thing about customer loyalty and driving customers. And I think that's what your expertise here can really help us, especially since you've demonstrated this with selling a company worth a lot of money. So tell us a little bit about what is customer loyalty, so people really understand the difference between getting a customer and customer loyalty.
Yeah, well, customer loyalty is all about having raving fans. It's not just a customer that you get and they happen to wander into your online or brick-and-mortar business. It's about somebody who says, I love what you're doing, and it's really responds to me, and it really makes me feel good, and it solves my needs. And so I'm going to buy from you over and over again. And one of the things that I say in one of the chapters in the book that I wrote is that if somebody buys from you once, they're testing you out. If they buy from you twice, they're checking to make sure that wasn't a fluke. If they buy from you three times, then they're really being much more loyal to you. And so the customer loyalty I'm talking about is not a buy 10, get one free type program. It's something that you build into the infrastructure of your business. And this has been honed by the work with my clients. So it is, there's a number of different things you can build right into the infrastructure.
Well, I think that's really, I really just want to kind of restate what you just said. So if a customer buys from you once, they're checking you out. If they buy from you twice, they're checking to make sure the first time wasn't a fluke. And it isn't until they buy from you that third time that they really start becoming loyal to you.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
Well, I think that's an important piece. And then the other thing that I just picked up on is that we need to put this in the whole customer loyalty piece needs to be part of our business plan. Is that what I just heard you say?
Well, sure. The whole point about customer loyalty is that you use it as a business growth strategy. So why would you focus on customer loyalty? Because loyal customers mean more sales, more referrals, larger dollar amounts for each sale, more connection to employees, and then the employees feel more connected to the customers, and then you've got it in this upward value spiral where the employees feed the customers and the customers feed the employees, and they just, get more and more connected and create more and more value. And then that creates market share that which you take away from your competitors. And even cash flow, and that's a big thing for small businesses.
Sure.
When you have loyal customers, they pay on time because they want to see your company be healthy. And so it really makes your cash flow a lot more predictable too.
I think that's really important. So what are some tips that you can give us, especially the entrepreneur in trying to drive customer loyalty?
Yeah. So one of the things there's four parts. There's leadership. So leadership establishes a vision and creates a space for a lot of loyalty to happen because they show employees what it is to be loyal to the employees, so the employees then can demonstrate that for clients as well. Then there's engaging the employees, because when you engage your employees, you're getting them to be productive, and you're getting them to be really engaged and using their creativity and really wanting to be there, just not be a 9-to-5-er, but be a person who really wants to contribute. And that comes when values and vision of each individual employee on their personal side kind of align with what the business is doing. Hmm. Another part of that is designing the customer experience. So you can have a customer experience where people come in and they don't get paid attention to, and they can take it or leave it. But then you have the design customer experience where everybody knows that eye contact is really important, and that smiling and saying the customer's name is important, and making sure that when a receptionist, for instance, takes a customer to maybe a professional in the firm, that this is a really nice introduction and handoff, So the customer feels very, very taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth part of that is marketing. So not every customer is a good customer. If you have a value proposition in your business, the best customer, the most ideal customer, is the one who really understands your value proposition and whose needs are really met by what you're offering. And then they see the direct link between themselves and you, and they get value from that, and that encourages them to be loyal as well.
Hmm. So the four pieces are being a good leader, mm-hmm. engaging your employees, mm-hmm. Designing the customer experience. You know, I think that's something that probably a lot of us have never really thought about. And then four, the whole marketing plan.
Right. So let me give you an example of a customer experience and the way that's been built right into a the whole marketing or the whole business plan, as well as the physical structure. If you go into a Starbucks, if all the equipment were that you use to make the lattes and the different drinks were against the back wall, then the barista would be turning their back to the customer in order to make the coffee or latte, right? But Starbucks is really didn't want that to happen. They wanted the barista to have a really personal relationship with the customer on the other side of the counter. So they put all the equipment on the counter that faces the customer, that's between them. So the barista never has to turn their back on the customer. So they continue to give that customer a very personal experience, even though it's more expensive to build the stores that way, with all the equipment in the middle instead of against the back wall.
Oh.
They're really designing the customer experience by designing the build-out of a whole coffee shop.
I never thought of that before. But you're right. I mean, they're always, like, right there looking at you almost just the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And they don't write last names on the cups. They write first names on the cups because they want to get to know you and they want you to have that personal experience. And they're actually trained to remember your name. So if you're a regular into that coffee shop, after a couple times, they're going to know who you are and they're going to say, oh, do you want your usual today? And it makes you feel very recognized and welcome, like you're really important.
I'll be darned. I mean, you're absolutely right. I never gave that a thought before. So it sounds like all of us need to really look at when a customer buys from us, what's the experience that they're getting, both in the pre-sale, the sale, and then after the sale.
Right. So it's so accurate what you just said, because when a prospect is coming to you, you know, they raise their hand and say, pay attention to me, I might be buying from you. And then you start to talk to that prospect through all your marketing messages and through how you are showing them what your value is for them. What you're really doing is saying, how I do anything is how I do everything. And how I am marketing to you is the same kind of experience that you'll probably get when you are a client of ours. So how you market is really a best indication of the later experience they'll get as they become a client or a customer.
Well, I just think that's fascinating. You know, we have to take a quick break here. I want to talk a little bit more about this whole customer loyalty piece. I want to talk a little bit more about your book as well. But stay tuned. We're going to be right back. This is Deanne DeMarco of Today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking to Gary Quinn. Be right back.
Out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of Today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table.
Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's inspiring women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne@DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne@DeanneDeMarco.com. That's DEANNE@DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking about customer loyalty and customer retention with expert Jerry Quinn. And Jerry, just before break, we were talking about this whole customer loyalty piece and what drives customer loyalty. And it almost sounds to me like you have a background in psychology on this. Do you have a background in psychology around customers?
Oh, I do. Psychology and education. In my first few years out of college, I was an elementary school teacher, and then I got a master's degree in dance movement therapy. And dance movement therapy is all about positive psychology and using the creative parts of your personality to heal yourself and to pull the best parts from you and to leverage them. And so I tell people that there's a lot of business consultants out there, but not all of them are good communicators. Mm-hmm. And I think the education and psychology background that I have really helps me to communicate things to people in ways that they can use them. It really helps them be better implementers. And that's why my book has a lot of images in them, because we learn so much more from seeing things visually. 80% of what we learn, we process visually. So, you know, creating a playbook is like a football playbook.
Well, yeah, I was going to get into that. I mean, one of the things I thought was interesting, especially with the Super Bowl, I mean, coming up right around the corner here, you talk about the customer loyalty playbook. So was that an intentional metaphor here with football?
Absolutely. And in football, you've got the players have a playbook, and that's guarded with their lives and, you know, in very sacred among the teams, that you don't share your playbook or anything, because each one has various plays in it, and the plays show everybody's position on the field and the movement and the countdown and who's going to, you know, get the ball thrown to them or what the running play is going to be. And in this customer loyalty playbook, it is a book of diagrams that and each diagram is related to an explanation of that diagram, and then it has a case study with it, and it has discussion questions. So it's meant to be something that a leader can use to lead a team, and they can talk about this particular strategy and how they're going to use it or modify it or make it their own, and then write it up and actually incorporate it right into their business plan.
Oh, that's really a good idea. So it's a workbook as well as a knowledge-based book, but it's a workbook right along with it.
Yeah, and it's meant to increase teamwork and team decision-making, and everybody knows their position, everybody knows the direction where we're going, and we're all working toward the same goal or the same tactic that we're going to get there, an action that we're going to use to get to our goal.
You know, one of the things I like to kind of like just kind of jump back to just a little bit, recircle on, is this whole idea of a regular customer and customer loyalty. Is a regular customer a loyal customer?
I really draw the difference between the two. And let me tell you this story because I think it might make it clear. So you live in a neighborhood and there's a bunch of stores on your street and there's a dry cleaner. And you go to the dry cleaner because they're local, and that's good. And they're not bad in terms of the service they provide. And then another dry cleaner moves into town, and it's about two blocks away. But when you go there, they say that they use organic chemicals instead of inorganic chemicals, and they're really a green dry cleaner. And that kind of aligns with your values. And so even though it's a dollar or two more, every time you have something cleaned, you decide, and you have to even walk further to get there, you decide that that's going to be your dry cleaner of choice, and that's great. And then a third dry cleaner moves into town, and that's even a couple blocks further away. But when you, and they're green, they're a green dry cleaner too, but every time you go there, you're made to feel so special. It's like going into a party that was just held for you, and everybody knows your name, and it's all fun and cheery, and sometimes when you go there, you get, and the owner of the place comes out, shakes your hand, introduces you to other people that are there, other customers who are also walking in, and you decide, listen, I'm taking all my dry cleaners to this third place because not only do they believe in what I believe in, but every time I go there, they make me feel so great. So you might be a regular at first dry cleaner where because it's a convenience. But it's not, you're not loyal. You're loyal to the third dry cleaner because they align with your values and because they make you feel so good every time you go there. And that's the difference between a regular customer and a loyal customer.
Well, and that really goes right along with creating the customer experience that you're talking about.
Absolutely. It all comes together. The leadership, the employed, engaged employees, customer experience, and the targeted marketing all comes together in how much business you get and why people choose to be loyal to you.
Yeah, that, I really like, that's a great story, great metaphor there. Really like that. Yeah, because I have gone out of the way to go to places that just make me feel like I'm part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, yeah, I never gave it a thought about creating that customer experience before, and I think that just really nails it in. So what are some of the other topics that are in your book?
Yeah, so in my book, you'll find some exercises that really bring things home. For instance, even on the customer experience and designing that, you'll find a chart where you can actually map out what are the things in this particular action that we take with clients that provide them value, and then what are some things that you can do to make their experience better, and then what are some things you can do to actually give them a wow experience, and then what possible breakdowns might there be, and then how can you recover from those breakdowns? So if you plan that all ahead of time, you can provide a much richer customer experience that's consistent and reliable. Other topics in my book about how to lead a company by taking the organizational chart and turning it upside down and actually put the customers at the top of it. An ice cream cone that talks about what does it feel like, what would it be like to take your customers on your vacation with you, or at least have that concept? And how do you build traditions with them and make it an emotionally rich experience? Because we all process things through our emotions and our senses. And then there's all kinds of chapters on professional development and aligning values within your firm. Some of the case studies are good too, and they come right out of my customer experiences. I had to get permission from some of my customers to actually use them in their case studies, even though I changed their name, because it's all direct experiences with customers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's really, really good. I mean, well, just real quickly, what are some, what would be an example or a tip that you could give to somebody who really felt like they were losing their customer?
Be really honest. Call them up and say, I'd love to come see you. And then face-to-face, say, I see that you're not as active as you once were. We are dedicated and committed to being a better service to you. Mm-hmm. And we want to grow the way we measure that. So let me ask you a question, and then in 6 months I'm going to come back and ask you the question again. And you're going to tell me some things that I can do better, and I'm going to go implement them. So here's the question. How likely is it that you would refer a close friend or colleague to purchase from our company? And put that on a scale from 1 to 10. And if you find that they are, you know, a 2, 3, 4, or 5, or 6, then they are not really a loyal customer.
Oh.
And there's things that you can do to improve that. If they're a 7 or 8, they're getting there. And you can't even count them as a loyal customer until they hit 9 or 10. So keep on talking to them about what you can do better and keep on asking that question until they register the 9 or 10.
I like that. I like that. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is your comment about building traditions with your customer. I like that. That just really resonated with me. You know, like Starbucks makes a tradition of when you go there, you're going to have your first name on the cup. If you go there a couple of times, they're going to know your name. So, I mean, that's building traditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I never gave it a thought of building traditions. And I was just thinking back after you said that, are there any companies that I deal with that have traditions? And, you know, there are a couple, and it's those ones that have the traditions that make me want to, yeah, let me just keep going there and referring others to them.
So sometimes a company will have a client appreciation event at a standard month, maybe in the spring of each year. And what they do is they invite all their clients to come and to be celebrated. And then, of course, they say, if you want to bring anybody else with you, you can. And so when you bring that new person in, they are in the party with everybody else, and they're hearing stories about how well they've been serviced, and they get really pulled into the tradition of being celebrated. And when they're a customer next year, then they get celebrated too. So, you know, you can create layers and layers on that.
Yeah, I really love that. So what are some of the other services that you provide?
Yeah, so I work with companies and also entrepreneurial companies to help them grow, focus on the things that they need to do in order to get out of the status quo or to get that real edge that helps them establish more market share. So, for instance, for a couple companies now, I'm helping them build a sales department to really focus on customer loyalty and then, you know, spreading that customer loyalty message throughout the whole operations department, too, so that it's really rampant throughout the firm. I'll work with an individual leader on, and it could be a leader of a company or a leader of a one-person company, to really get into self-leadership, to really look at how their business is growing, what responsibility they're taking for making that happen, and their communication and their business skills and their cash management skills and how they're going to grow. I also work with groups. For instance, there's a fast track program run by the Kauffman Foundation, and that's, I'm going to tell your listeners about that. It's K-A-U-F-F-M-A-N, Kauffman Foundation. And they do entrepreneurial education and throughout the country. And so if somebody Googles that, what they'll find is how they can take a program to really develop a business plan and get into what it takes to really run a business. So that's a resource It costs different amounts in different places, but I knew in New York City it's free.
Oh,
I facilitate that program.
That's great. How do people get hold of the Customer Loyalty Playbook?
Well, you go to Amazon and you type in Customer Loyalty Playbook. It comes right up. The only book by that cover, by that name. And it's up on Amazon, not very expensive. It's $14.95, and they run 10% off offers all the time.
And how do they get a hold of your company?
And you can get a hold of my company at drivingimprovedresults.com. Driving improved with an ED, results with an S, .com. And you can find a lot about the various services that I offer, a lot about more about my background, and you can find a lot of customer testimonials, case studies on there as well.
That's great. Well, Jerry, I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women. And again, I just want to repeat that for people. So it would be www.drivingimprovedresults.com. And the book, The Customer Loyalty Playbook, can be found on Amazon.com. Jerry, thank you again very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you. And I acknowledge you for running a program like this that can be a mentor device. A mentoring device for so many people, and really adds value to the world of those women who want to start businesses and develop themselves professionally. It's a wonderful, wonderful service you provide to all the women of the world.
Well, thank you very much. We need to take a quick break right now. We'll stay tuned. And this is Deanna DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to curb the inner critic. Stay tuned.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/World Talk Radio.
We're tuned into today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's Deanne@deannedemarco.com. Now, back to today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women, and we have got a great segment for you today. We're going to be talking about the inner critic. And our expert on that is Marcy Stern. And Marcy brings over two decades of progressive leadership, strategic planning, and professional development experience with expertise in the healthcare industry. Marcy has authored a book called So Long, Inner Critic, Hello, Inner Champion, 25 Tips to Master Your Mindset. And I just love this book. Overcoming the inner critic and self-sabotaging messages has been a personal challenge for Marcy professionally. She experienced the imposter syndrome, a feeling that others would find out that she didn't know what she was talking about, despite the fact that she's very, very successful and does know what she's talking about, and has experienced is an experienced emerging leader in a prestigious academic medical center and as a leader in that local healthcare executive professional organizations. It is through that personal experience coupled with being a coach, speaker, trainer, and lifelong learner that Marcy is passionate about helping others overcome the inner critic that sabotages their goals. And Marcy, I just love this inner critic topic. Welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you, Deanne. It's wonderful to be with you today.
You know, I just love this topic because I think this is such a topic we really need to talk about, especially as women. So how did it come about with you becoming so passionate about the inner critic?
Well, you really did a great introduction, and it really was this experience of the imposter syndrome. Despite the fact that I had some really great professional success at this academic medical center, it was this lurking behind the scenes question that I had in the back of my head, and it was that, you know, what are they going to find out? I really don't know what I'm talking about. And it was funny to hear you describe it because you snickered, and we do snicker when we can step out of it and see really how ridiculous it is. But there are many women who live with that imposter syndrome. And, you know, it wasn't until I was probably well into my 30s that I even realized that I had this inner critic voice. And for me, that voice and the seed of that imposter syndrome said to me, your opinion doesn't count. Your words, your voice doesn't matter. And over time, if I kept believing that to, you know, the nth degree, well, that imposter syndrome would certainly have taken over for me. And I learned to manage it and like you did, you know, laugh it off at times. But I found my behaviors at times when I did believe it, they'd be impacted. I would hold back. I would second guess myself. I'd be afraid to speak up because I thought, oh, what if I say something that's irrelevant in this meeting, or everyone looks at me and says, what is she talking about? So I realized that it may have held me back from advancing at a faster pace than I advanced, and I don't think I recognized that until I had decided to leave this career and really, you know, and face the inner critic too of leaving a very comfortable career with great benefits and a great future ahead. But it wasn't until I made that decision did I recognize that, you know what, I'm letting go of that fear and I'm going to speak up. I got great feedback from my leaders. They were, you know, saying, gosh, where have you been all this time? Now, they didn't know that I was going to resign and when I had let that fear go. But that whole experience was just very insightful for me personally. But then I realized, you know, how many other people are experiencing this? And it's not that we lose as professionals, but our organizations who we want to contribute and make a difference for, they're losing out. So when we can overcome our inner critic, we win, our organizations, our clients, our customers win.
Yeah, I totally believe that. You know, I can really see how this whole inner critic can affect you both personally as well as professionally. So what are some key steps in how to deal with the inner critic?
Well, I like the AAA, very simple three-step approach when it comes to dealing with the inner critic. And the first A is awareness. As with any change, we know we need to start by developing a sense of awareness. And the same is absolutely true here for the inner critic. You need to understand, you know, what is the inner critic message, or what's the one that is most prominent that may be holding me back? And then once that awareness is there, the second A is acknowledge. And it's acknowledging the inner critic, because if you don't acknowledge it, you just kind of sweep it under the rug and you say, oh, okay, I know that's not real, it's not true, and I'm not going to pay attention to it,
it will get louder and louder and louder. And I'm not an insect person, and I hate to bring this analogy, but it's probably the best one that I have found. But it's, I remember living in Arizona when I was going to graduate school there, and they had these atrocious cockroaches there. And they were horrifying, but they came out in the dark. And if I flipped a switch and turned on a light or put a flashlight on them, they would scurry away. They didn't like the light. And the inner critic is just like that cockroach. If we shine the light on and say, ha ha, I got you. I know you're not, you know, real and you're not going to, you know, have power over me. They scurry away and they lose their power. So acknowledging that it's there and not ignoring it. But acknowledging is also about taking personal responsibility for the results you want to have. So acknowledging that, gosh, if I continue to really believe what this inner critic message is saying, I'm going to, you know, keep getting the results that I'm getting. And then the third A, probably not surprising, is action. We all know there is no change without action. And action doesn't have to be big leaping steps. It's just the baby steps. What are the new actions that I can take that will, over time, minimize that negative influence that the inner critic has had on my life?
Well, I like those. You know, I think I kind of snickered because I related to this.
Yes.
You know, because you do see yourself as, and I don't know why that is, but we sometimes just don't see ourselves as important or as qualified as we really are.
And you know, I hate to say it, but I think that really is more of a female issue than a male issue. So I'm so delighted to be sharing this topic with your audience. We've probably grown up, most of us, with, you know, don't be too big in your britches and, you know, watch the ego. And I think that sends, you know, in a way, a wrong message. Like, no, own your successes, own your magnificence, and don't belittle it. And there's this fine line between, you know, ego and being humble and being proud. And I don't think that we, you know, at least in my generation, we were really taught what that line is. Or, you know, if you're a child of the 70s and you know, and feminism was really strong and it was, you know, oh, we got to charge through and power through, almost overcompensating. So it's something that that we are still, you know, working through.
Yeah, I really think, you know, even in, you know, talking about different sports teams that girls are in, guys on a sports team, if they had a good play, they'll say, yeah, I did a really good play. But if you talk to the girls will say, oh, it was a team effort.
Yes, yeah. And there's value there. And, you know, it's, you know, I think women tend to be more team-oriented, and that's a good thing, and that's why I think women are such fantastic leaders, is because they think about the leveraging the strengths of the individuals for the team effort, but at the same time, we also have a hard time tooting our own horn and in really owning our own successes, our own individual successes.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money there. You know, so what can we do to develop more awareness around our inner critic?
So, great question, since that is the first step in really quieting the inner critic. And I would say start by being curious and just not judgmental, but just sort of witnessing yourself in action and look and listen for those triggers or those times that you may hear the should voice in your head, oh, I really should go work out, or I really should stay another hour and finish this project before I go home. Those shoulds are triggers that you have an inner critic at play. And if you can even take that curiosity and jot it down or create a log, in about 2 or 3 weeks' time, you're going to probably see a pattern where there's maybe a particular situation or a particular person who triggers an inner critic thought that is a consistent pattern. So that's a great way to build awareness on, you know, which of the inner critic messages are really impacting you. Another way is just to, you know, just jot down, you know, what are my biggest fears? And just, you know, set a timer for 2 minutes and see what you come up with. And then I would guess that there would be some patterns and some would fit together and you might be able to construct, you know, some inner critic messages from that. And then the last one I want to share is something that I did not create. It came from a personal development workshop that I attended several years ago, but it really stuck and it really works for people. And it's a fill in the blank. And there are two phrases that you can ask yourself or just pose. I'm too what? Fill in the blank. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too young. Or I'm not blank enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not pretty enough. Those are ways that you can become acquainted with your own inner critic messages and build that awareness.
Well, I really like that. You know, we have to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the inner critic. So stay tuned. This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking to expert Marcy Stern on curbing the inner critic. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card offered by Voice America. It is not insurance and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies, but 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's Deanne@deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women. And we are talking to expert Marcy Stern and talking about the inner critic. And Marcy, just before break, we were talking about the three steps around the inner critic. And one was you needed to create awareness about the inner critic, acknowledge it, and then take action against it. And you were talking about awareness, how to become more aware of your inner critic. And you gave some tools. So one of the ones I just want to touch back on is you mentioned that it could possibly be a situation, a person, or a fear that kind of ignites your inner critic. Is that what I heard you say?
That's exactly it. I think sometimes you just need to be aware of, you know, what triggers an inner critic message. So sometimes it's hard to say, gosh, I don't know what my inner critic says. But guaranteed throughout your day, there is probably at least one thing that happens to you or one person or one conversation or a situation. I mean, it could be, you know, while you're driving to the office and somebody cuts you off on the road. It could be a contentious conversation with a colleague. It could be, feedback that you get from your boss, or it could be prospect that you're following up with and they say no to your offer. I mean, things happen all day long that we have a response to. So some of those situations or types of people may actually trigger. And so that's why creating a log and just for a couple of weeks and keeping track of, you know, what the situation was and what the internal dialogue was will help build some awareness.
Mm. I think that's really good. You know, I'd like to talk a little bit more. In your book, you have a chapter called Debunking Your Inner Critic Myth. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So the inner critic is a myth because it's not real. Basically, it's just a story we've made up. It's just our way of interpreting an event or a situation. And in the book, I have that inner critic cycle diagram. So if the listeners have pen and paper, they can kind of draw this out. It's very simple as I talk through it. But you have a circle, and you're going in clockwise motion. And at the top, like at 12 o'clock, you have an event. Something happens. And then you have a thought to the right. That would be your 3 o'clock. And then from there, you have a mindset, and that's your 6 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, you have an action. So something triggers, something happens, you have an immediate thought based on that. And, you know, I'll go back to my previous example. If your boss gives you some feedback, well, your thought could be negative or it could be positive. It could be, oh my gosh, I better be packing my bags because, you know, my boss is setting me up to fire me. Or it could be, you know what, that was really important feedback and I'm going to do better next time. But your thought triggers a particular mindset or attitude and your actions and behaviors fall from there. So the myth happens between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock, between the what happened and what are my thoughts and beliefs about it. And our thoughts and beliefs are just stories based on our own stories that have been given to us from our own life experiences or from people or situations that have influenced us. And oftentimes what I have found is the most harmful, the most destructive inner critic messages were really planted from maybe a 4, 5, or 6-year-old's perspective, which makes it even more of a myth, you know, to consider that that we are making choices about how we interact with the world based on maybe a 5-year-old's mindset or opinion of what happened way back when. And I think, you know, my recommendation for people when they start becoming aware of the inner critic and they hear that message is to immediately ask themselves, is it true? Is this belief true? How do I know it to be true? Like if I had to be in front of a judge in a court of law, do I have enough evidence to prove that it is absolutely undeniably true? So it's really just, if you say it's really just a myth, it's just a story that I have, and I know that I can, if I change my thought, I can change that story and the outcome.
I really like that. I think you're right on the money there.
Yeah. You know, can I share a personal story? Actually,
sure.
About my son, just to help illustrate it. When he was 3 years old, it was first day of preschool, and he went up to another student, and he introduced himself, and, hi, my name is Matt. Well, he didn't know that this other student had Asperger's, so the other student's social skills were certainly not on par with Matt's. And he walked away from that experience. Now, of course, he didn't come to me that day and tell me all about it and say, Mom, did I, you know, look at it correctly? But his opinion later came out, you know, many years later. He shared that incident with me, and he said, in that moment, when that happened and the way that the boy responded to me, I made the decision that I'm not good at making friends.
Wow.
And he believed that about himself. Not 100% of the time, but imagine growing up, going to middle school and high school with the belief that you're not good at making friends because of one little incident. And we do that. We all can find something like that where, of course, that wasn't true, but we buy it as if it were true.
Thank you for sharing that story.
Sure.
That really hits home.
Yeah.
You know, in your book, you have like 25 different tips in your book. What are your three favorites?
It's like picking a favorite child. Hard to do, but I would say one of my favorites, and in the book I have five different ways to approach it, but most of my strategies have to do with the approach of really retraining your brain, because our brains have the ability to create new neural pathways based on this science called neuroplasticity. And so the one tip that I call replace the negatives with positives really speaks to this. You can't, as I said, ignore the inner critic. You actually need to acknowledge it and then replace it with something else, because you can't just have this blank screen in your brain saying, okay, well, if I'm not going to believe that, what am I going to believe? So have a phrase or another message that you would say to yourself. And sometimes I suggest to people to write down on an index card what is their, you know, most destructive inner critic message, and put that on an index card and then flip it over and then create a contrasting message. What would be your inner champion voice, not your inner critic voice? And carry a few of those around and have them in different places. And anytime you feel that inner critic message, you can then flip over the index card and say, no, I'm going to think this instead. And keep practicing and keep retraining your brain so that it will eventually own the positive, not the negative. So that's one of my favorites. The other is something that I personally have been engaged in a lot more in the last couple of years, and I've just noticed a tremendous change in my life personally and professionally, and it's really about expressing gratitude. And, you know, gratitude seems to be a big buzzword, but there's so much research to support that if we can really appreciate just the small things and what is going right, again, it's a way of retraining ourselves to, you know, let go of the negative. So that's another one that I would encourage listeners to try on. And then really, you know, being clear on what your values are and what your purpose is, and having a personal mission statement that reflects that. Because so often we go through the day and we're like that gerbil on the wheel and we just go, 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 and we don't even know why we do it. We're just in that, you know, that habitual mode. And to really stop and think about, you know, why am I here, and what intention do I have for my life, and how do I want to show up today? And being guided by that, I think, will help you support a stronger, more positive image of yourself and your goals, and keep you focused and aligned with that. So well, those are wonderful. Some of my
you know. How do people get hold of your book?
They can get a hold of my book on a website, and it is masteryourmindset.info.
Masteryourmindset.info. That sounds like a book that I think all of us really need to be looking at and getting. So we've been talking to Marcy Stern. And Marcy, I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you, Deanne, for having me. It's been a joy.
Yeah, so on that website, masteryourmindset.info, can they get information to get how to hold of you as well?
Yes. That also will get you into the marcystern.com website, and there is contact information there. And there's also, I would encourage people to sign up for the 14 mindset musings that will help support the topics and the tips in the book. So there's a login there, and you'll get even more information than what's in the book.
Well, that's wonderful. Marcy, I'd like to thank you for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thanks, Deanne.
You know, as we wrap up today's show, we've learned a lot. And one of the things we need to really be looking at is how do we go about mastering that inner critic. And so that kind of couples with the quote and action I want to leave you with today. You know, the quote is from Rabbi Morris Adler, and he says, "We visit others as a matter of obligation. How long has it been since you have visited with yourself?" So your action for today is to have a conversation with yourself about something of importance to you. Well, this has been Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. Thank you very much for tuning in today. And if you know of anybody else who can profit from or use the information that you learn on today's Inspiring Women, please reach out to them and tell them about the show. Again, thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful day.
Thank
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.